All good now? All right. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. We know that. We've been told, we realise that. I'd have to say for me, it's the second most exciting day for me in our calendar year here at church. The first one is celebration of salvation, and then the second one today. And as I've been preparing the talk that I'm giving now, it occurred to me it's a shame that we set one day a year to give thanks to God as a church. One day. In the Jewish tradition, the Talmud, it encourages people to offer up at least 100 times a day of gratitude to God. And also, special thanksgiving were given many, many times during the year. And we, who of all other people in history, are the most blessed people on earth. So we should be giving thanks and praise to God as well. And because not only all the other things in life, but we too have been richly blessed in the Lord Jesus. We are the people of God. We are the most blessed people on this planet. And indeed today, Thanksgiving Sunday is a special day. So where do we start to thank God and for what he's done? Let me try and quickly go through a list of things of possibilities. We are adopted members of his forever family. We are loved and precious to him and seen to be holy in his sight. We have life. We have eternal life. We have health and wealth and families and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ here. We have his Holy Spirit. We have his power. We have his strength. I've been speaking to some members of our congregation recently who have family in Asia and in Africa. And it was a sad story, but they spoke of how some of their relatives have died recently of preventable conditions. But in Australia, I know we like to whinge, but in Australia we have a pretty good health system. We have no wars, we have great freedoms, we have security. We have high employment, high education levels, we have good access to transport and technology, we have holidays and the ability to travel, we live in comfortable homes yet to be happening here for these guys soon. We have God's word to guide us. We have Jesus' example to inspire us. We have prayer in which we have already done this morning. We can go into the very throne room of God and speak to him. We have his comfort, his healing, and his peace. We have the privilege, it is, of serving him in this world. And we have the joy of the Lord. We have the fruits of the Spirit. We have the full armor of God. We get it, don't we? I could go on. It is so good, and God is so good to us. Friends, we are incredibly blessed. So how do we respond to this huge blessings that we have? Well, so where do we start? And that passage that Naomi read to us from Psalm 103 is a good place. And someone has called this psalm King David's Hallelujah Chorus, and I think it is. Did you notice in that text, as Naomi read to us, David is addressing his own soul. He's reminding himself as he praises the Lord of all that God has done. But the context is, it's used what we call a grammatical device that he's instructing his own soul. And I've got 4 points this morning. The first one is, praise the Lord and count your blessings. And David says in verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is a prayer. But it's a prayer of praise to God. David is awestruck by God's blessings upon him. We're not told, actually, the circumstances that David has in writing this psalm or singing this psalm. It's not difficult to imagine, really. He's looking back on his life and counting the blessings, and he's not complaining about perhaps the burdens he might have. It dawned upon David just how much God had done for him. He realized how good God has been to him, and he is undeserving of that. Friends, he sees that this is a blessing. So springing up from the depths of his heart, gushing out this prayer of and song of praise, expressing his gratitude to the Lord. David praised the Lord with his song, just like we have a few moments ago. If you've ever had a problem with praising the Lord, you simply have to pick up your Bible and read a psalm. All the psalms are in fact sung originally in the Hebrew. I can see David, full of emotion and passionate in all that he did, praising God from his heart. He was really animated. I wonder, not here of course, but I wonder if he'd have a difficult time in some churches today if he was animated like that in his praise to God in song. He believed in putting his all into it. The Hebrew king was also an accomplished musician, a man who sang with feeling and conviction. This was a joyous song of praise to the Lord, and these words were not just dry, stale things that could have been sung, but they were full of life and energy. They were part of worshiping God. You recall David was accustomed to dancing from time to time. I haven't seen dancing in church for a while, but hey, that might happen in the course of time. But the point here is, he didn't sing like it was a funeral dirge. He didn't sing with his hands in his pockets and stare at the words. Not that any of us did that this morning. David sang with joy from a deep desire to let God and let anyone who was around him hear just how good God is, and he wanted to praise and thank and glorify him. The Psalms are filled with these kinds of praise songs that exuberantly praise and thank God. And David was serious about praising the Lord. It wasn't something he only did in the temple on, you know, special days or religious ceremonies. No, he did it every day. It was an everyday experience for him. And he was grateful to the Lord. And he couldn't help but praise him and thank him. I might be showing my age. I probably am anyway. But David was singing the ancient Hebrew version of "Count your blessings, name them one by one." He was doing that, we see in the opening verses of this psalm. Second point, life in relationship with God is whole and healthy. As David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he understands that God forgives his sin. And he also believes that the people of God have been forgiven and are made whole and made right in a relationship with God. And he says in verse 3, "Who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases." Let me pick that up, "who heals all your diseases." Remember, he's addressing his own soul. What kind of healing is he speaking of here? Well, many take it to be a physical healing. It could have been. But I want to say daily, God physically heals people. And while hearing a sermon on this is helpful, I think this would take a whole issue to unpack. For God is the great physician to whom who takes care of all our needs and our petitions And he has the power to save and the power to heal. That very famous passage in James 5 says, "Is anyone among you ill? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven." Yes, God can heal our bodies. But physical healing is not the kind spoken of in this psalm. If we were to do justice to the interpretation of this passage, we cannot assign any meaning that we want the passage to be, but we must understand its proper context. And he's talking about his soul, telling God that he heals his distressed soul or his diseased soul, and chiefly that has to do with sin. Does the whole soul have diseases? Of course it does. We are out of whack with God by our own nature. And we see that in our fear or doubt or depression or anger or lust or hate or jealousy or pride or greed. Look, the list goes on as well, doesn't it? These soul diseases can be traced back to, as we've seen recently, in the fall in the Garden of Eden and the effects of, and spread of sin. But God can also permanently heal your soul and mine. And we're told in Psalm 147, verse 3, I think Ruth read it out to us, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." God understands our failures and sin, and the incredible thing is, he forgives us. He forgives us. Let me tell you this morning that God's grace has no limits, none. No matter what sins you've committed in the distant past or even the recent past, God's grace is able to cover those sins and more. Christ's death on the cross includes a sacrifice that covers all sins, past, present, and future. Every sin that you'll ever commit has already been paid for. There is no sin that you'll ever commit that will not already be covered by the death of the Lord Jesus. Friends, that is wonderful. That's so releasing. But there's something even more wonderful in this. He chooses to use you and me. He chooses to use you and me to do his work in the world. People who fail and sin. He's even got his hand on us. In fact, based on the people God tends to use, I'd say he more than understands failure. He actually uses them. He took a habitual liar and made him the father of Israel. He took a murderer with a tendency towards anger and put him in charge of leading Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. He called an adulterer a murderer and called him a man after his own heart. Jesus took a loose cannon who couldn't resist the opportunity to shoot off his mouth and appointed him to be the rock on which he builds the church. God not only isn't surprised, he's actually a specialist in using broken people to accomplish his good purposes. Believe then, friends, that God's love and forgiveness can handle your sins and empower your life. That is so good to believe. The third point, life in relationship with God is meaningful. Look at Psalm 103, verse 4, "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Because he forgives our sins, because he gives us a relationship with God, because he heals our soul's diseases, we see, friends, life is now meaningful for you and me. How many people waste years of their life on things that really don't count for much? They spend their days pursuing temporal passing things that, and wake up one day empty, tired, and feeling as if it was all useless. In fact, they end up feeling betrayed because the things they worked so hard for to obtain in life do not bring them satisfaction that they long for. the world does not offer any hope for a meaningful life. Money, material possessions, power, position, it just doesn't cut it. God gives you and me purpose in life. He gives you and me purpose in life. He gives us meaning and value. He keeps our lives from being a waste. Our lives are now lived with an eternal purpose. And this is one of the benefits of knowing God, and that our lives count for Him. Friends, you and I have eternal significance. My last point, our response of thankfulness. As I reflected this week, what am I thankful for? Well, as I sat in my desk and reflected today and during the week, I am forgiven. I am part of God's forever family, and He has given me so much personally in this life, including a delightful community to be part of. There are so many things that I personally can be thankful for. I want to say there are God things that, you know, I can't personally do. There are God things happening in my life that I just need to acknowledge and obviously give thanks to God for. And let me just say some of them. A while ago, we were given 10 demountable classrooms. You remember when that was announced? Friends, I know of no other church in my life that has that happened. None. That's very out there. We've renovated. Go and have a look over morning tea, the beautiful St. Stephen's Chapel. This was from outside our budget. You know, we're pretty strapped for cash, can I say? And people from outside our parish paid for that. And that was a lot of money. That's a God thing, isn't it? Kim and I are very thankful to God for our family, the joy and support they give us and the joy and support we give them. Unusual for us, but Kim and I are soon to be grandparents of 12 grandchildren this year. Whew. We're blessed. And I'm so blessed to have friends and family that love me and I love them. But what about our church? Well, this morning we've heard Pastor Chacha speak of her years here and how she's invested so much and done so much. What a wonderful ministry. We've heard this morning that Jonathan Rona Daniel, you know, got a house. The first house they looked at, got it. I don't know if you know how difficult it is to rent a place these days, and also if you have no rental history, but they got it. All right, just down the hill here. It's unbelievable. No, it isn't. It's a God thing. We've got James and Lisa Barnett. Haven't they been spectacular in our community and how they have contributed to our life and relationships? It's been wonderful. We've seen growth in ministries. We've seen our life groups develop. We've seen the growth in number of people in our churches. We've seen Quack this year is going to be bigger than last year. Our ESL, our English as Second Language, is happening. We've heard how our 7:45 service started after 3 years of not having one this morning. Even little things like last Friday, I got a letter to say that a community grant that we didn't think we'd get or even sort of give much time to. We received a grant last Friday to buy some laptops and a little printer just to do ministry here. Look, what a shower of blessing that is. That's what I've reflected, and I could go on and you could go on. And so right now, you are going to have the opportunity to write down your personal thankfulness to God. And what does that look like? I've just told you what I'm thankful for. And I'm going to say you're going to get a note. And we might need some help here, folks, to write down how you are thankful. I've told you what I'm thankful for. And we're going to have the opportunity to write this down. In a moment, we're going to place it on, I am the thankful, sort of either side of the platform here, where you can write something down and make it your prayer of thanks, God, today. And so when you get one of those bits of paper and a pen, I want you to write that down. I think the ladies can do what I'm about to do. I'm not sure about the men. Do two things at once. But keep writing and as I'm speaking. We're also being given an envelope in which has the opportunity for you to give a special Thanksgiving offering to God. All right? And this is something between you and God. The only person who's going to see what's on that, as far as I know, is a treasurer, and he's got a bad memory. He's not going to remember anything. So, you're right. Whatever you do before God is safe. All right? And this is reflective of how God is good to you and has blessed you. All right. So we're going to do two things. Write down personally. And this is a personalizing thing is important here of what you are thankful to God for. And this is pleasing to God. And when you've written this down, we're going to give it up to God now. But let me say what King David said. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That means praise him with my attitudes, my actions, my family, my finances, my words, my work, my faith, my relationships, my voice, my vocation, my church, my children, my hobbies, and my habits. I'll praise him not only in word, but in deed. I'll praise him with everything, like David says, that is within me. Just give a few moments to write that down, and we'll have the opportunity then to come up when I give the nod. Worship as an act of thanksgiving, as an act of gratitude to God. Let me invite you to do what I'm doing now. Come and personally put that towards God and place your thanksgiving offering in the basket before you. We're going to, there's on either side, let me invite you to do that now. Come. Have worshipped God and done something that's pleasing in His sight, then we have personalized our gratitude. Let me pray for that right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to praise and thank You for all that You have done for us, for life, eternal life and forgiveness, for health and family and friends, for this wonderful church and all the provisions of this life that we have. We thank You that You have abundantly blessed us in the Lord Jesus. And we offer up right now our personal thanks and praise and gratitude to You because You are so wonderful and kind to us. And of our thanksgiving offering, we present to You right now, may it reflect how much You have blessed us in this world and the next. And we pray this and we offer our praise and adoration to You in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.